Welcome, welcome, curious souls, to the Macabre Emporium, your sanctuary for the unusual, the mysterious, and the appalling.
Step through our cryptic doorway into a world where secrets whisper and enigmas come to life.
I'm David.
And I'm Sarah.
Together, we're your custodians of the macabre, guiding you through tales that defy the ordinary.
Discover the untold stories, from lesser-known cases of true crime to the bizarre events that captivate us.
Join us on a journey to the shadows where the mainstream fades and the extraordinary beckons.
So whether you seek the bizarre, the eerie, or the chillingly obscure,
you're in for a treat here at Macabre Emporium.
Welcome back to Macabre Emporium. This is episode 84.
And if you're cooking a turkey today, because it's technically Thursday, since most people actually catch up and listen to us on Thursday, welcome!
Welcome!
So yeah, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, or today is, in case, you know, like I said, you're cooking a turkey right now. I did see a video over the weekend. It was some culinary specialist that said she had like 40 years. And she was just like, put the fucking turkey in the oven. I've tried it so many different ways and whatnot. And there's never been a turkey that's ever stood out. Just salt, pepper, and butter, and throw the damn thing in the oven. It tastes like cardboard either way.
I love turkey.
Yeah, I was like, cardboard doesn't taste like turkey. Turkey doesn't taste like cardboard. At least I don't think it ever has.
No.
Unless you're terrible at it. Unless it's the turkey from Christmas Vacation.
Oh, God. You mean just the skin and fucking bone?
I know we left that in for too long. Yeah, but anyhow. So, earlier, like a couple days ago, you know, before we recorded this on my Facebook memories, came up about our episode 3 of when I did the history of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is also one of my all-time favorite episodes I've ever researched, because it was just super fun to look into the past of that, yep. Learning about the first balloons and the balloon releases at the end and all that. So yeah, if you need an extra dose of Thanksgiving, like, content, there you go. Go back and listen to episode 3.
Episode 3. Do it.
What do you have for us this week, Sarah? I know it's true crime, I bet.
It is true crime, but it's very different from what I've done prior to this.
Oh, speaking of that, I did also see earlier this week they have new evidence that they possibly might know who D.B. Cooper was.
Oh.
Because somebody found the parachute type that he used in a barn, if I remember correctly, and it's like a 1 in a billion chance of somebody else owning this parachute.
Okay.
So I know, I read through some of it on my lunch, and I forgot to go back and read the rest of it, but yeah. But they were saying it's like a 1 in a billion chance to have this very specific parachute rig that D.B. Cooper used, and I wish I could remember the guy's name off the top of my head, which he was a convicted robber of some sorts already.
Oh.
So.
Coinkydink?
Possibly. But I doubt it. I bet it was him.
Well, I guess time will tell, huh?
Yep.
It's been enough time.
If I remember correctly, there's actually been also a renewed interest in the FBI because of this find.
Huh.
But anyhow. Ready to get started then?
I is.
All right, let's get going.
So like I said, this is going to be totally different from what I've done before.
Okay.
We're going to start with some audio.
Phoenix Police, this is Nicole. How may I help you?
Hi, Nicole. Is there any way you can, like, check my brother's room or anything? Because we feel really unsafe because we're not sure what he bought.
Okay, what do you mean, what he bought?
He, like, is really mentally unstable. So we're afraid he bought something that could possibly harm us.
Okay, and where is he right now?
In his room. He's 28 years old.
Okay, and who's there with you?
My mom, but he won't let us in the room to see what he bought. And we're scared.
And what's your address? Is that a house?
Yeah. We just want a police officer to come and check his room.
I mean, I can send an officer out to come talk to you guys, but I can't guarantee that they're going to go into his room and search his room.
You guys can't come in and search his room?
I don't know. I'm not an officer. I can send an officer to you, and they can talk to you, but like I said, it's going to be up to them. If they feel like they need to go in there and talk to him, then they'll be able to talk to him, but I don't think they're going to be able to just search his room.
I don't know.
Has he threatened you guys or done anything?
No, he's kind of, I don't know how to describe it. He's kind of crazy. He, is seeing a psychiatrist, and he just got, paid $400, and he blew it all. And, he came through the door, and, really sketchy, and went straight to his room. It looked like a box. I don't know what rifles come in, if it's, a box or something.
I'm not sure.
I just wanted an officer to come and see what, to check his room.
Right, I understand what you want, but I'm letting you know. I can send an officer to you, but, I can't guarantee they're just going to go in and search his room, because he's not doing anything. He hasn't committed a crime. He's not threatening you guys. He's not doing anything. He's just in his room.
So if he comes out with the rifle and kills himself,
If he's threatening you with a weapon or he's saying threats, then that's different. But you're telling me he's not threatening you in any way. He just went out and made a purchase, and now he's in his room. He's not harming anyone. He's not doing anything wrong being in his room.
Okay, I guess I'll have to wait till he does something. Thank you.
Okay, so what you just heard was an unidentified caller calling on March 11th, 2014, who was at home where Andrew Ward was living with his younger brother and two teenage sisters. The voice sounds like a girl, and she's concerned about Andrew doing something to himself or to one of them. Andrew wouldn't allow anyone into his room, like she said. She was worried that he had gone out and bought a gun. She had requested help from an officer to search the room, and the dispatcher declined and seemed to even argue with the girl that an officer was not needed. She did seem to me like she had a little bit
of an attitude with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll probably all varies from city, city, state, whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably most dispatchers out of sight of caution, hearing the distress in the kid's voice, probably would have still sent an officer.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's just my assumption. That's probably what I would have done is this kid sounds concerned about something. Let's get an officer.
Even if it turns out to be nothing, you're still being proactive instead of reactive after the fact.
Yep. As you know, I've already covered enough stuff with all the mass shooters. It's if somebody would have intervened or whatever, things could have been different. Like episode 2, for example, if you haven't gone back and listened to that one either. When I did James Huberty, it was just he tried to reach out for help. And, just because of that typo. Change, history in San Ysidro, California.
Yeah. So the dispatcher said that an officer couldn't search his room, and the reason being that he hadn't done anything. Right. And you heard the girl say, so if he comes out here and he shoots himself, I guess I'll call back then.
Right.
So still good cause to send an officer out, especially with that comment being made. The call ended with the girl resigning and saying she will have to wait until he actually does something then. Another call winds up coming through. And this is it.
Phoenix 911, where's your emergency?
I need you to come pick me up.
What's the address of the emergency?
I'm at Circle K, but the emergency is at 21448 North 34th Drive.
Is that a house or an apartment there?
It's a house.
What's the emergency there?
I'd rather not say.
Okay, well, if you're calling 911, it's my job to find out, so I need to know what the emergency is.
I think it's a murder.
What makes you think that?
Because I stabbed someone.
Okay. And where are you at?
I'm at Circle K on 35th Avenue in Deer Valley.
And who is this that you stabbed?
Google Austin Tapia.
Where did you stab him at?
I think I stabbed him in the chest and in the neck and in the head.
Okay. And who is this person?
This is Hugo Tapia's son.
But how do you know him?
He lives in the house with me.
Oh, okay. So he's your roommate?
He's a family, or he's a see the relative.
Okay. Is he like a cousin or?
He's basically kind of like a brother.
Okay. And what happened? Were you guys fighting or what was going on?
Honestly, I just felt like killing.
Okay. Have you been drinking or doing any drugs or anything like that?
No, I have not.
Okay. So you guys weren't arguing or anything like that?
Nope.
Okay.
That was a kill for a U.S. Marshal.
Okay.
Not support them.
And what's your name, sir?
My name is Andrew Ward.
Are you at the front of the Circle K?
I'm inside the store.
Okay. And what are you wearing? What color shirt and pants?
I'm wearing a black shirt and gray pants. So actually, not pants, but shorts.
Gray shorts. Okay. Do you have any weapons on you? Any knives, guns?
I sure do.
Okay. What do you have on you?
I have a knife, a Batman knife.
Okay. Is it like a steak knife, a butcher knife?
Switchblade.
Okay. Is it in your pocket or are you holding it out?
It's in my pocket.
Okay. Which pocket is it in?
I believe my right pocket.
Okay.
I'm using someone else's phone and they have to leave.
Okay.
You want to just pick me up here?
Can you let them know that it's 911, so if they could just hang on just a minute, it won't be too long. We're just going to come talk to you, okay? But if
all
you
right,
could
thanks.
Just stay on the phone, because I want to make sure we get to the right place, okay?
All right. Home for a little bit, so they have to talk to me.
Just let them know it's 911, okay?
He said he can't be late for class.
Okay, can you hand the phone to him really quickly?
Sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hello?
Sir, this is the Phoenix Police. It's really important, and I understand you have to get to class, but this is a very important situation.
Well, I mean, he gave you the address of where he's at. You can call that
I understand, but
them,
it has to do with him injuring
well,
someone.
I don't know what to tell you. I helped out as much as I could.
Okay.
I was the only one who was on the phone. So
thank you. It's not much help,
I mean,
but thank you.
You got your cars have engines. You can get here faster than that.
I mean, okay, well, I'm not going to argue
department.
With you, so thank you.
Dude is covered in blood, so I think you would get over here quick.
We are as quickly as we can, but I don't want to let a suspect go. I like to keep them on the phone to make sure we get the right person.
Yeah, I would be more than willing to stop over here if you wanted to, like, okay with that at school or something like that, but I don't know what to tell
I'm
you.
Sure the officers will do as much as they can to help you with that excuse. I'm positive that they will help you in this situation.
Okay.
So
well,
as long as you can help me out, that would be amazing, and I would greatly appreciate your help.
Okay, well, all right. So, well, you guys are on the way over here then?
As fast as we possibly can. We are absolutely
okay.
on the way. I just want to keep him talking because it's the best thing I can do right now.
All right, well, we'll leave my phone with him and you can have one of the officers get
absolutely,
the phone and then bring
sir.
It to me at the school then,
Where
all right?
do you go to school and I'll make sure that happens?
MMI, the Motorcycle Mechanic School right down the road.
Is there a certain room we need to go to?
What room are we in? Do you want to write that down?
Absolutely. I have all of that information. You have no idea how much I appreciate you helping, and I'll make sure that gets back to you,
okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Hi.
Hi, Andrew.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure we stayed on the phone, okay?
All right.
Just let me know.
That was a kill for U.S. Marshal because I support U.S. Marshal.
Oh, okay. That's what it is?
That's what it is.
Okay. Did you work for them at all?
Honestly, it's classified.
Oh, okay, you don't have to tell me. All right. Was there anybody else at the house?
Nobody else.
Okay. And just let me know when you see the officers again. They just want to talk to you, okay?
All right. You want me to stay on the phone with you?
If you can, if you don't mind. Alrighty. Have you taken any kind of drugs or anything like that today?
Not today.
Okay. Do you normally at all?
I think I'm clean.
You are? Oh, okay, that's good. What did you used to take?
I'd rather not say.
Okay, you don't have to. Just making conversation.
I'd rather not say for that question. But,
no, you don't have to answer. It's not a problem, okay? Are you hurt
are the cops
going to,
like, I don't think I'm that hurt. I mean, I might have, like, a little bitty cut.
A little cut.
but it's not bleeding, I don't think.
Okay, so you don't need the paramedic?
I don't know. There's blood.
There's blood everywhere?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you just let me know if you're injured and you need medical attention, okay, because I want to help you out.
Am I going to the mental hospital or am I going somewhere else?
You know what? I am not an officer, so none of that is up to me. What we want to do is just help you, okay? That's our job. Are you still inside the Circle K or did you go outside?
I'm still inside Circle K, and I see the SUV. Should I walk outside?
You know what? Let me ask them what they want you to do, okay?
All right.
I'm just going to ask them real quick, okay?
All right.
All right, so you do see the officers outside?
I see the officers.
Okay, go ahead and walk outside. If you want to stay on the phone, you can, or if you want to hang up, that's okay. Okay?
So, yeah, there's a lot more going on in that second phone call.
Yeah. So what wasn't relayed was that the day that this happened, Andrew's mom and two sisters wound up going out to dinner. So he was home alone with his younger brother, Austin. What exactly happened in that time, you know, don't really know. But for whatever reason, Andrew stabbed Austin multiple times and walked to a convenience store to call the police. I know some of that was hard to decipher what was being said, but
right.
When he was questioned and asked why he did it, he said, honestly, I just felt like killing. Police suggested in a probable cause statement that Andrew may be an addict and mentally ill. When he called 911, he requested to go to a mental hospital instead of a jail, although he says in the call that he is clean, and what criminal wouldn't rather go to a mental hospital? I know if I did something, I'd be like, hey, I was crazy for that time. Take me to a mental hospital.
Right, but we also know from previous episodes that there's a whole bunch of steps you got to go through now because of one case, and that being the Tony Curtis case of that whole law changed nationwide just because of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, for my memory, it was like less than 1% of people that actually go for that defense actually fit qualifications for it.
Yeah. Andrew's family reported that he had suffered from depression and had a history of domestic violence in the home. His siblings had actually called police on him in the past because he was threatening them. So this wasn't a one-off situation. I mean, killing was.
Right.
But being violent towards family was not.
Right.
If the dispatcher had sent an officer when his sister called, he may have been able to see that Andrew had a past with violence and could have stopped that before it happened. He also had a history of DUIs, assault, marijuana possession, and resisting arrest. Pierce Murphy is the former president of the National Association for Civilian Oversight of Law Enforcement. He was asked to listen to the tapes of the calls and said he believed it sounded more like the dispatcher was screening calls for the officers instead of just passing on the call, gathering the information they're supposed to. She said in the call, I could send an officer, but he probably won't be able to do anything, when she was talking to the sister.
Right.
Pierce Murphy said that she really should have just sent an officer.
Right. Here on the side of caution, basically.
Right. Murphy was quoted as saying, I would say it is not a best practice to have dispatchers talking people out of wanting to have an officer come to their home. Paul Penzone, a former Phoenix police officer, had a different opinion. You're asking a dispatcher and an officer to see into the future. Penzone said, could it have been prevented? I don't know. I don't know if an officer had gone out there, if it would have prevented what occurred. This was a mentally ill issue, and it's a shame that it happened. Phoenix police said on the call, our operators screen several million calls per year and follow our policies, directives, and their experience to dispatch officers when they believe it is necessary. If we all had the benefit of hindsight, of course we would have seen a different outcome in this case.
Right.
While in jail, less than a month after his arrest, Andrew murdered his cellmate, Douglas Walker. He was rearrested and booked for that as well. Walker was 33 when he died and had been stabbed in the eye and throat with a golf pencil. What the fuck is a golf pencil?
So it's like 2 or 3 inches. It's like think of a regular pencil, no eraser, and then it's only maybe about 2 to 3 inches long. Oh. So that little holes in the slots on the golf carts we used to ride during the Jazz Fest, that's what you'd stick in those.
Oh.
It's just small in size for convenience while playing golf to keep score, you know, to keep your track your strokes for your score.
Andrew had then beaten and suffocated him with a plastic bag tied over his head, and at some point smeared peanut butter all over his head. But he's in jail, so, like, why did he have a plastic bag?
Right.
Why did he have a pencil sharp enough to stab somebody?
Well, the pencil, he probably sharpened enough to stab somebody with. Well,
that's true.
And the plastic bag was probably contraband that he happened to hide, would be my guess on that.
Yeah, could be.
And peanut butter is just a commissary item, obviously.
But right.
That's the weird part of the whole thing there. Is the smearing of the peanut butter.
Yeah. Like, why? I don't understand why he would do that. Just to be an asshole?
I guess. At least
add insult to injury?
Yeah, at least it wasn't some peanut butter, you know?
Yeah. Andrew immediately confessed and admitted that he did it and that he had no regrets. He told investigators that he felt threatened and voices told him there was a death warrant out for him and a cellmate and that one of them had to die for the other to live. When asked if the voices were real or in his head, Andrew said, I just heard what I heard. Andrew pled not guilty to the murder of Austin originally, but later changed his plea to guilty when he was also charged with first-degree murder for his cellmate. Prosecutors were originally seeking the death penalty because the killings were committed with such violence and in an especially cruel manner, but when he changed his plea, the death penalty was taken off of the table. Arizona law requires a unanimous jury to declare the defendant guilty before a judge can issue the death penalty. And because Ward had foregone the verdict for the murders by pleading not guilty, he could not receive capital punishment. He ended up being sentenced with 2 consecutive life sentences in 2017. That's it.
Well.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, it's actually short and sweet this week for once. I say that and it's like 45 minutes later.
Right. Right. I know some of my favorite shows to listen to are the ones that have the audio calls added in.
Which is unfortunate. Some of the things I've looked up that I've done, you can't find shit. That's probably more likely because of when they were done.
Yeah, you probably. Know?
Like Mark Essex. That would have been a great one to hear audio from, you know, or Howard Unruh. That would have been another one that would have been great to have 911 call audio.
Oh, yeah.
But I doubt there. Well, one, the technology wasn't there either. And two, it probably would have been recorded over at some point if that was the case.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I try when I do true crime cases. I try and find the 911 calls if they're available.
Yeah.
But if they are, I mean, if I actually thought it out far enough ahead to try and actually see if there's a way to get it, you know.
I've never thought of it. Which is stupid because, like I said, some of my favorite podcasts to listen to are the ones that have the audio.
Right.
And I've never thought to look it up or nothing. Stupid me. And before I forget, super huge thank you to Lindsay, a.k.a. Noodle, for her help with this episode.
And they're probably like, not her again. Ugh.
Highly, highly appreciate her help and her in general.
Yep.
But yeah, just short and sweet. Short and not very sweet.
Right.
Hopefully that fucker gets his butthole fondled.
All right. I just find it interesting. It's like these two were in a cell together. I'm assuming there's only two to a cell here or whatever. And then it's like he still had to admit that he killed him. You know.
It definitely wasn't, you know.
Yeah, he didn't stab himself in the eye and the throat and with a fucking pencil, but still.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it was the fucking Joker. Did you see him? He came in here and was like, you want to see a magic trick?
Why so serious?
Yeah. But I also find it funny that, like, not really funny, just amusing it thoughts in my head was like, when they rearrested him, it's like they had to take him back down the booking and do the whole process over again.
Probably not.
I know, but it just, that's what my thought process was on it was.
I don't know. How would they go about that?
I mean, they already have all the information. That's
Put him in a higher, like.
Probably take him to the minimum, maximum, maybe. Yeah. Once they realize, hey, this guy's a legitimate fucking threat. Needs to be in fucking solitary or some shit, maybe. I don't know.
Because the voices told him to.
Yeah. But if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, hopefully everybody has a good turkey day or Friendsgiving or Thanksgiving or Squadsgiving or whatever special name you guys give it these days, because, you know, our generation, it's breaking, traditional names and stuff and whatnot.
Yeah. Happy Eat Your Weight in Deviled Eggs Day.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of our friends like that. And also, if you guys are religious, we would like you to pray for one of our podcast friends, Jerry Polly, the Hillbillies Horror Story Podcast. He's not doing too well right now.
Yeah.
He had collapsed over the weekend at a convention with his wife, and it was heartbreaking listening to her talk about what's going on.
Yeah.
At the time of us recording this, he is awake, but he is struggling.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he could use all the help that he can get right now.
Yes.
And if you don't remember, we met them back at the Bell Mansion, and we were actually a guest almost a year ago on their podcast, which helped us grow significantly a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Significantly a little bit.
Oh, yeah. It was a little bit. A huge jump for us.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't the jump that we had. I didn't expect us to see. So.
No, me neither.
So if you guys, whatever your religious denomination is, do what you got to do to help Jerry get better.
Yep.
But with that said, before we start getting into all the emotionals and whatnot, I think it's time we get out of the emporium for the day, sir. What do you think?
I agree. We got to get that turkey in the oven, man.
Yep. Like I said, just throw the damn turkey in the oven. So until next time,
remember to creep it real.
And stay spooky, everybody.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Join our Facebook group by searching Macabre Emporium. Like and subscribe on YouTube at Macabre Emporium Podcast. Follow us on TikTok at Macabre Emporium Pod. Follow us on Twitter at Macabre Emporium. If you have any stories of the paranormal, your local true crime, or weird history that you would like us to look into and possibly do an episode on, email us at macabreemporiumpod@gmail.com. And remember to follow, rate, review, and share whenever and wherever you can to help us grow our podcast.